democratic political system, without skilled and ambitious engineers, most of whom had learned their craft in American colleges and honed it in the war, without bosses and foremen who had learned how to organize and lead men as officers in the Civil War, without free labor, without hard-working laborers who had learned how to take orders in the war, without those who came over to America in the thousands from China seeking a fortune, without laborers speaking many languages and coming to America from every inhabited continent, without the trees and iron available in America, without capitalists willing to take high risk for great profit, without men willing to challenge all at every level in order to win all. Most of all, it could not have been done without teamwork. The United States was less than 100 years old when the Civil War was won, slavery abolished, and the first transcontinental railroad built. Not until nearly 20 years later did the Canadian Pacific span the Dominion, and that was after using countless American engineers and laborers. It was a quarter of a century after the completion of the American road that the Russians got started on the Trans-Siberian Railway, and the Russians used more than 200,000 Chinese to do it, as compared with the American employment of 10,000 or so Chinese. In addition, the Russians had hundreds of thousands of convicts working on the line as slave laborers. Even at that, it was not until 32 years after the American achievement that the Russians finished. And they did it as a government enterprise, at a much higher cost, with a road that was in nearly every way inferior. Still, the Trans-Siberian at 5,338 miles was the longest continuous railway on Earth, and the Canadian Pacific at 2,097 miles was a bit longer than the Union Pacific and Central Pacific combined. But the Americans did it first. And they did it even though the United States was the youngest of countries. It had proclaimed its independence in 1776, won it in 1783, bought the Louisiana Purchase, through which much of the Union Pacific ran, in 1803, added California and Nevada and Utah, through which the Central Pacific ran, to the Union in 1848, and completed the linking of the continent in 1869, thus ensuring an empire of liberty running from sea to shining sea. How it was done is my subject. Why plays a role, of course, along with financing and the political argument. But how is the theme? The cast of characters is immense. The workforce, primarily Chinese on the Central Pacific and Irish on the Union Pacific, but with people from everywhere on both lines, at its peak approached the size of the Civil War armies, with as many as 15,000 on each line. Their leaders were the big men of the century. First of all, Abraham Lincoln, who was the driving force. Then Ulysses S. Grant and William T. Sherman. These were the men who not only held the Union together north and south, but who acted decisively at critical moments to bind the Union together east and west. One of these was president. A second was soon to be president. The third turned down the presidency. Supporting them were Grenville Dodge, a Union general who was the chief engineer of the Union Pacific and could be called America's greatest railroad builder. Jack and Dan Casement, who were also generals during the war, and then the heads of construction for the line, and many engineers and foremen, all veterans, who made it happen. Dodge and nearly everyone else involved in building the road later commented that it could not have been done without the Civil War veterans and their experience. It was the war that taught them how to think big, how to organize grand projects, how to persevere. The financiers could move money around faster than anyone could imagine.